You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Monday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. You can find us on Peacock. We're on YouTube.com/The Dan Patrick Show just for the rest of this week, and then we make the official transition over to Peacock. Really simple to download the app and then join us. It'll take you 30 seconds or less. But excited about the partnership for the next couple of years with Peacock. Say good morning to our great radio affiliates, number 362 around the country, those on Chat Row. We have a poll question. I don't know if we're going to change it for the final hour of the program. McLovin, what do we have?
So I asked who's coming out of the West. The Lakers are still number one, but the Clippers are sticking at number two over the Mavs, Rockets, and Jazz. I have an NFL option for you when you're ready.
Okay, I'm ready right now.
You can only watch one of these quarterbacks this season.
All right.
Cam Newton, assuming he starts by week one for the Patriots, or Tom Brady for the Buccaneers?
I'm going to go Brady. Yeah, Cam makes the Patriots interesting. The Buccaneers are still interesting to me, even if Brady didn't go there. But I would say Tom Brady. I'm also looking at this. Vegas has some odds on quarterbacks winning the MVP. And we've seen this with the second-year quarterback winning the MVP. Kyler Murray's name is up there pretty high. Got a lot of people who are buying into the Kyler Murray hype that maybe he could win the MVP this year. Murray has 20-1 odds to win the award. Mahomes and Jackson are currently the favorites. Tom Brady's at 18-1. He's generated the most action. Dak Prescott, 15-1. He was 25-1. He's attracted the second most action, but that makes sense with the Cowboy fans. Cam Newton. Cam Newton went from 100-1 to 30-1 to win the MVP. One bettor wagered $500 on Cam Newton. If he becomes the MVP, the ticket will be worth just over $50,000. I'd put down that kind of money on Cam.
And call someone if you want.
No, I don't want to gamble. Drew Lock, by the way, the Broncos. There's some people looking at Drew Lock as maybe taking that next step, but he's at 100-1 right now. He's got some weapons there in Denver. But, yeah, I definitely want to see what Brady does with Tampa Bay because we don't know how much longer he's going to play. Final hour, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Spent a lot of time first hour talking about Luka Doncic, the shot. You realize that the Clippers wanted to make that switch, Reggie Jackson guarding Luka Doncic with the game on the line? I'm waiting for this question to come up. Did Luka make the right decision? Now, we know the end result. He went for the win. This wasn't, you go for the win on the road. You go for the tie when you're at home. Now you're on a neutral site here. And what if he misses that shot? Are we critical of Luka Doncic because he took a three to win it, a contested three from 35 feet, instead of trying to get a two? Yes, McLovin.
I think they were only down one, actually.
Oh, they were?
Yeah, the final score was 135, 130.
Then never mind.
But it was a crazy shot. Why did he try and get fouled?
Let's start the hour over again.
Yeah, we'll edit that out.
Yeah, we'll edit that out in the rear. But even the shot that he took, I was curious about that it was a contested shot, a deep shot there, and would he have been criticized if he doesn't make that shot? And the answer is yes, he would have been criticized. Yes, Paul.
I heard a couple analysts on NBA TV were breaking down that shot, and they were talking about his awareness on the court, where he is, the time left, that he did an extra crossover dribble that he knew he had time for, and his defender was reacting to there's like three crossovers.
Yeah.
His defender was sticking with the second one and thought, well, that's all the time he has, and he committed, and that's why he was tumbled over his feet on a third crossover.
Here is Doncic after the game-winning shot.
I was just trying to make it, I can't explain the emotions I had, Not only when the ball goes in, when I see the whole team like running towards me, that was something special. One of the best feelings I ever had as a player. And it's just something special, man. This team is something special.
And Rick Carlisle, who played with Larry Bird in Boston, had a comparison to Luka. Now, keep this in mind, that Mark Cuban, the owner of the Mavs, says, let's stop making comparisons to Luka Doncic. But that didn't stop Rick Carlisle from making this comparison.
I mentioned Kidd and Bird. I mean, I think both those guys, you know, just are from the same fabric competitively and in terms of their will to win and their resourcefulness to find ways to impact the game in unique forms. You know, it's not just about putting the ball in the basket. It's about giving teammates confidence.
And keep in mind what Jeff Van Gundy said last week. Comparisons are the thief of joy. It's a great expression because we get caught up and then eventually you're going to denigrate one player as you elevate another player. And I'm not, and I don't mean to do that. Those comparisons, I think, are apt. What Jason Kidd did, how he did it. He became a very good three-point shooter, but he could dominate without scoring. And we know, of course, Larry Bird. But, you know, the Luka comparison, I mean, that's what's fun about what we do, where you're trying to find that comp. What happens with every draft? Who's he remind you of? Right? When somebody says, oh, you got to see this guy, who's he remind you of? And then you have your comparison. Whether it's true or not, you have your comparison. I love it. It's fun. Dangerous at times, but it's fun. Yeah, Paulie.
Well, what frustrates us, and I know this frustrates you and the group here, is that people use comparisons of physical similarities, like height, weight, complexion, et cetera, et cetera. And they don't compare games. We try to compare what their game on the court is like, if it's like another player, because it doesn't always match. Just because you're Tom Gugliotta doesn't mean you played like Larry Bird.
Well, but you have to be compared. You're always compared. A white guy's always compared to a white guy.
Unless people start thinking it through and say, what's the actual game like?
Yes, McLovin.
But there is, in fact, I had stats pulled. Luka Doncic dunks like three times all season. Like there is a lack of verticality to his game that people bend over backwards not to recognize. He plays well below the rim. He never dunked. Do you remember him ever dunking the ball?
No, but I'm not a guy who got caught up in, boy, I love to watch these guys dunk.
Right. I'm saying, like, you know who that reminds me of? Larry Bird played the same style.
Yeah. Yeah, Paul.
I have this old book. It's unbelievable. It's from like 1982, and it's the top dunkers in the NBA. It's this old basketball reference book. Remember that one? It was like a big brick, and it lists the 10 best dunkers in the NBA, and Larry Bird was 10th. And I still have the book.
Wait, best dunkers?
Best dunkers in the NBA. And it even says, like, I know you're surprised that Larry Bird's on the list, but he goes down the baseline. He'll dunk on people. This is, again, 23-year-old Larry Bird we're talking about. Mm. I'll grab the book and show you.
All right. Yes, McLovin.
That's inaccurate.
It's in a book. The NBA reference
book. Yeah, I'm saying that book is wrong. Because I was, as a Sixers fan, I watched Larry Bird post up guys from 16 feet out. He never dunked on us. I'd say us.
No, Larry would usually dunk in transition on a fast break, but not too many times where it's a half-court set and he's going to, you know, go in and dunk on you left-handed. Yes, McLovin.
I talked to our buddy Lance Zierlein, who writes up the draft capsules for NFL.com.
Yeah.
And he says he's wary of comparing white receivers to other white receivers because of you. He says he thinks of the Dan Patrick Show because he knows we'll make fun of him if he... it's a tough game to do the player comp, especially with football, because you always do size. Russell Wilson... Baker Mayfield. You know, you got to do the 5'11 quarterback to the other 5'11 quarterback.
But I don't know who we compare John Stockton to.
Mm.
Like, who did we compare Steve Nash to? Because I don't know if there's a comp.
I mean, we got to, historically, let's pull up that draft and see what they said.
Yeah, I'd be curious that who they're compared to. Because they're their own... Like, they're the original. They're the OG when it comes to what Steve Nash did and how he did it, and John Stockton, the way he did it as well. Here's something for you that Ethan does the stats around here. McLovin used to do them, but Ethan...
Oh, Ethan.
Ethan is a Harvard grad, and he just sent me this stat. Total points through the series' first four games. Clippers, 495 points. The Mavs, 494. Thank you so very much, Ethan. Thank you. Paulie just sent me a YouTube video on Larry Bird. Is this Larry Bird dunking?
It's Larry Bird dunks mix. The best of. It's an all of 2 minutes and 20 seconds long. But he's putting it down on some fellas.
Wait a minute here.
It's early Bird. The hair is flowing.
These are hardly what I would call highlight dunks. Closer to rub dunks.
Yeah, those are rub dunks.
There's a couple crisp one-handers in there.
Nah, I don't think so. He took three steps there. Four steps there.
He just torched John Sundvold.
Yeah.
This is sad. I'm watching this. This is a terrible... I mean, he's barely getting that ball over the rim.
Yeah, I wouldn't say Larry, you know, when I think of great dunkers in the 80s, Larry's name doesn't come to mind. In fact, his name would never come to mind.
But as a Celtic, it makes you look more athletic when you dunk.
Yeah, I think he's one of the great Celtic dunkers
there we go.
Of all time.
We're workshopping.
Yes, McLovin.
I don't remember many Magic dunks either. He didn't like, he was very close to the floor, as I recall.
Luca had, you know, Ethan, who does our stats on the show, he just sent me this note. Luca had 14 dunks this year, tied for 184th in the NBA. So,
oh, Ethan.
Thank you, Ethan. Once again, kids, it doesn't matter if you can dunk. But if you can shoot a three, you got a chance to play. Just letting you know. God, I thought, once I dunked, man, I like you think that there are people that are going to come out of, you know, doors and, you know, they're going to come out of the woods. They're going to, hey, welcome to the club. And then you realize it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all. I mean, it does for yourself where you're like, man, okay. It didn't matter. All that matters is I could shoot. All right, let me get a couple of phone calls, best and worst of the week. And Al Michaels will join us. I'm going to talk to him about this NFL put some teams on hold while looking into the COVID-19 test from a New Jersey lab. All these false positives here. If this had happened a month from now, this would be a huge story because you would have teams that might not be able to play. They'd be quarantined. Like, this is just false positives. 77 of them. They wouldn't have enough time for turnaround here. It's a big deal. Now, this is sort of a dress rehearsal here for the NFL, and they got to get this figured out soon. But we'll talk to the great Al Michaels. He'll join us. Barry in New York joins us. Barry, thanks for holding. What do you have for me?
Hello, boys. 5'9", 190. Thank you. Best of the weekend. My New York Islanders eliminating the Washington Capitals and embarrassing them so badly, the Caps fired their coach.
Yeah.
And I also still hold a grudge against this guy for his dirty hit in the 93 playoffs against Pierre Turgeon. So a special FU to Dale Hunter. And worst of the weekend, Mets Yanks canceled because of COVID.
Yeah, I had, and thanks for the phone call, Barry. I have a neighbor, and he came over to my house because whenever there's something sports-wise, then he wants to come over. He had his Yankee hat on, his Yankee shirt on. And he goes, can you tell me how I can find the Yankee game? I go, well, they canceled the series. No one told me. I said, well, I don't know if they're going to call you, Ed. But Ed wanted to know. I said, no, COVID. You know, that's... So he's all dressed up, and it's like 7:30, and he stays outside of my driveway. He wants to know. And he said nobody told him that the Yankees series against the Mets was canceled this weekend. David in New York joins us. Hi, David. What do you have for me?
Hey, Dan. Yeah, I would be remiss, you know, if I wouldn't, you know, give a shout out, but a shout out to Kobe Bryant on 824. Rest in peace, Kobe. Start off with the worst. I mean, yeah, Barry, the previous caller, you know, stole my thunder with the Mets Yankees. Because, you know, Mets avoiding the sweep, you know, they could have had it, the Yankees would have had 3 points to their, you know, win total. And the best was the last 10 minutes of the match, Clippers game. I didn't watch most of the game because I was caught up with, you know, the Indy 500 in the U.S. Champions League. But, man, what a game, man. And Luka, he's just cold-blooded, man.
Yeah, it was good. It was fun. But he made the shot. I just wonder if he didn't make the shot and didn't try to get a two-point shot or maybe where he got fouled. I'm still just surprised at the defensive philosophy there with the Clippers. Reggie Jackson's, what, 6'3"? You know, Luka's 6'8". You know, this is where I have Paul George. If Paul George can't score, can he still play defense? He's supposed to be one of the great... They have the two best two-way players in the NBA, don't they, on the same team? Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, as far as being great wing defenders and offensive players and two-way players. They're on the short list. We know Kawhi is. You know, Klay Thompson is, but why isn't one of those guys is not guarding Luka Doncic? Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, they have Paul George on that guy who can't hit a shot. Maxi Kleber?
Yeah.
He's keeping the Clippers in the series. By the way,
you made that name up.
Maxi Kleber. Yeah. Anyway, I have the draft comp for Steve Nash. They're pulling him back. You're going to laugh pretty hard.
It's not Bob Cousy.
No.
Okay.
No. Right. But I'll save it. It's
Is it like John Crotty?
UVA.
Yes. John Crotty.
I'll save it.
Okay. All right. Jeff in Detroit, then we'll take a break and make way for Al Michaels on the program. Oh, I just saw where the Dolphins announced limited number of fans with mask for home opener. The Dolphins will allow 13,000 fans for their home opener, and you must wear a mask. Hey, Jeff, what do you have for me today?
What up, though? One time for Chat Row. One time for the people at Peacock for knowing what good talent is and getting you on board, Dan.
Oh,
I'm really
look at you.
It.
Thank you, Jeff.
Listen, in all honesty, though, they ruined my weekend, which is the best and worst. I was supposed to go to a wedding, 90 degrees, standing outside. I'm like, I don't know if I want to go or not. I get on the Peacock app, look your stuff up, seeing what, you know, what Monday is going to be like. Man, I went into a wormhole, dude. All those movies and all that content, Bill Murray movies, Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, all the Law and Orders for free 99. Anything that's free is all right with me. Now, I got one question for you, Dan.
Okay.
Coming up, Luka Doncic seems like he's on his way. My question is, which one happens first? Luka gets MVP of the league or LeBron James retires from the league?
Thank you, Jeff. Good to hear from you. Thanks for doing some PR for Peacock there as well. I'm thinking that LeBron has three more years left. I thought that he would try to play until his son, you know, Bronny Jr. came in. But I don't know if... I don't know if he gets to the point where he can't be LeBron, where he is just sort of that secondary player. Now, he wants Anthony Davis to be the best player on the floor. In the last two games, Anthony Davis has been great. And if he is great, then I think the Lakers will still win the title. You know, but my issue is, I don't know which Anthony Davis shows up. And I can't have two personalities like LeBron and Anthony Davis where they kind of defer. You know, they're not as attack mode as I would love for them to be. But LeBron is trying to bring out the best in Anthony Davis and put him in positions to succeed in the last two games. And now I'm really curious about tonight because everybody's going to go, yep, they solved all their problems. They're shooting over 35% from three-point range. No, it's going to be game by game for them with their shooting. It'll be game by game. We'll take a break. The great Al Michaels will join us next. More phone calls coming up as well. It's 19 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. When it comes to scoring great hires for your business, you may be up against some obstacles, like lots of applicants. But, you know, it's tough finding the right person for the right job. And you're trying to run your business and you're trying to ensure workplace safety. I mean, there's so many things that go on when it comes to hiring somebody. That's why you need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. First, you post the job on ZipRecruiter. Then it gets sent to over 100 top job sites. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology will then hustle to find you the right people with the right experience for your job. Four out of five employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Four out of five. And you get a quality candidate within the first day. How about that? ZipRecruiter, add it to your roster to help you in the hiring game. You can try ZipRecruiter for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. McLovin looked for the comp when Steve Nash was being drafted, and I just thought, well, it has to be John Stockton. Is that who he was compared to?
Yeah. Okay. We pulled the sound. It was, I'm not sure if it's ready, but it was Rick Majerus called him a poor man's John Stockton.
Okay, but who was John Stockton compared to? What was the comp on John Stockton?
I'm trying to find footage of the, like, 84 draft, and I haven't found it yet.
All right. Let's bring in Al Michael. Whoa, look at Al. Albino outside there. Got flowers there. Looks good.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
Dan, we also have occasionally some hawks and crows that come by. So I've had to hire because I don't want anybody to interrupt us.
Oh, well,
I have my own security. I have a security force here. I have three of these guys, right? So the plastic owls, let your audience know, if you have crows and hawks in your backyard, go to a gas station, get some ceramic plastic owls for about $1.20 a piece, and that will do the job.
And you know what?
So we're good. We're good to go.
You know what we call those? Owl what do we call Michaels. Those?
There you go.
No.
Very, very good.
Thank
Dan.
You.
Very good.
Thank
the
you.
Comedy stylings of Dan Patrick. you haven't lost an inch, my man.
What was the first?
Welcome, by the way. Welcome to Peacock.
Well, thank
welcome.
You. Thank you.
Cool.
What was the first NBA game that you called? Do you remember?
The first NBA game, well, I did it for 2 years back in the 2003-04 season, Christmas Day, 2003. Houston at the Lakers. It was Yao Ming as a rookie. It was the Kobe, Shaq, Gary Payton, Karl Malone year with the Lakers, with Phil Jackson threatening to retire, which he subsequently did and then came back. So that was the first game I did. I did it with Doc Rivers. I was looking for a partner. They wanted me to do the NBA. The funny thing is, I wanted to get some practice games in that year. And so Mark Jackson had retired and was living in Santa Monica, and we went down to Staples and we did the game, and Mark was good. I remember Mike Pearl was the executive producer of the NBA, and Mike said, "What'd you think?" And I said, "You know, Mark's going to be really good someday, but he's green. He hadn't done it before. I hadn't done basketball in like 25 years. So I really needed somebody who had some experience." And then my good fortune was that Doc Rivers got fired by Orlando that year. I think they started 1-10. And then he and I danced the dance that year. And then he went to Boston. And I did one more year of the NBA with UB Brown, the great UB Brown, who's still going strong. That was number one.
When you're calling a game in person without the audience, like how I don't know if you've done that, but like a small crowd, like how much does it help in you doing your job?
Well, I do have some experience because when I did the San Francisco Giants in the mid 70s, 74, 5, and 6, terrible team, horrible ballpark, cold. On an August night, I remember in maybe 75, playing San Diego, each team is 22 games out of first place. Nobody's there. It's cold. It's terrible. Bitter. And they handed me a sheet with the attendance figure. And I looked at it and I said, "Here's tonight's attendance. Let me just tell you, Mr. and Mrs. Jim McAlpine have come in from Mill Valley. Harvey Pelukian has driven up from Milpitas. The Bernstein family came up on a station wagon with the dog, but they left the windows open in the parking lot." And that's what you do. And it's so much more fun, obviously, when you're doing it with a big crowd and great crowd noise. So this is going to be interesting. And we're going to start, you know, in Kansas City, they're supposed to have maybe a quarter of the stadium. So that's 2 weeks from Thursday. We'll see. I don't know what that's going to sound like. Everybody's supposed to wear a mask. And then 3 weeks from last night, we're right back here. We open up this $5 billion stadium in Inglewood, which is tremendous. It's unbelievable with no fans. Cowboys, Rams on Sunday Night Football. So, it's a lot of trial and error, Dan. We'll see how it works out.
Is there plan B if you can't go and you and Chris have to call it by remote?
I've not heard of that. I think that would be extremely difficult, and I would not like that at all. I think basketball is in a relatively confined area, so I think you can call basketball more easily than you can the other sports. Baseball, fairly similar in that regard. Mike Emmerich, of course, is the greatest. I mean, Mike doing hockey, whether he's in the arena or sitting in his home in Detroit. I mean, I'm watching him the other night thinking he's not missing very much. He's missing maybe 2%. And that 2% is because he's not there. And you've got Pierre Maguire who's there. So that's working out well. I think football is very tough because you have to see the field. You have to see how they align. It's all spread out. And on a 40-yard pass downfield, that's going to be a very difficult thing to call. And plus, you can't feel it. There's a rhythm to the game.
Yeah.
Even though there's no crowd, you know, maybe you'll put in some crowd noise, which I think is working fairly well with these other sports. So I would much prefer to be there, and hopefully we don't have a plan B and we don't have to do a game off a monitor.
Do broadcasters need the preseason? We know the players do to a certain degree.
I don't think so, except in this particular circumstance. This is, to paraphrase our great buddy Jim Nance, I mean, this a tradition like none other. This is a season like none other. So we have to go through a lot of the protocols that the players do, that other people who are going to be in the stadium. So there are a lot of things to think about before we get on the air. And that's the only thing I'm concerned about, because for the most part, normally our first game that we would do would be the Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio, and almost every year that I've done the NFL. That's how we start. And you get into a rhythm fairly quickly. So you don't need preseason in that regard. But in this particular case, I think it would have been helpful to just see, hey, how do we get into the stadium? What do we do? How do we travel? What happens around the game itself? I think once we get on the air, it'll be fine.
Talking to Al Michaels, of course, the play-by-play voice, NBC Sunday Night Football. I can't believe that we're a couple of weeks away from the start of this NFL season. And then you had this false positive outbreak with the NFL, with the testing. Al, if this is 2 weeks from now, I mean, this could shut down a game, I'm guessing. Or I don't know what kind of damage it would do to the game.
Well, I see that the lab said there was some contamination. I mean, this is not likely to be necessarily a one-off. We've already had false positives. We know what happened with Matthew Stafford. So this is a day-to-day thing. I mean, right now, the league is on schedule to start 2 weeks from Thursday. A lot can happen between now and then. A lot can happen on that Thursday morning. Who knows? You know, what if a Patrick Mahomes test comes in positive, but it was a false positive? We don't know. I don't know what's going to happen here. But, you know, there's so much, as you know, over the last 6 months, contradictory information. Don't forget, when this thing started, oh, it's a winter thing and everybody's sick right now and we'll get to summer, everybody will be fine. It only affects old people, not young people. Well, that turned out to be 100% false. So we don't know. And everybody says, believe the science. Well, that lab in New Jersey is part of the science, right? So at this point, this is an ongoing saga. Hopefully it has a smooth road to travel. And we get to the end of the season. I think, you know, right now, I think the season looks like it's going to start on time. We're ready to go. Everything seems to be fine. But it's a long way between now and February.
We see these second-year quarterbacks make a jump. We've seen this in recent history where, you know, and then they become legitimate MVP candidates. You know, Mahomes is the latest in Lamar Jackson to be able to do this. But when you see these quarterbacks, like, what is the one thing that would stand out that you saw the jump if you want to, you know, Lamar Jackson from 1 year to the next, Patrick Mahomes, maybe Kyler Murray this year? You know, optically, what is it that you see where you go, that's different than the year before?
And then go all the way back to Russell Wilson. They can run and they can throw. I mean, they can do both things. So is the day of the drop back in the pocket quarterback Tom Brady over? No. I mean, Tom's still pretty good. And, of course, that's going to be one of the great stories this year to follow what happens with him. But it's I don't want to say the new breed, because I was, you know, reading the other day about, you know, Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes have changed the game. Go back to Randall Cunningham. He changed the game, too. And I think Sports Illustrated had a story on the cover in 1988 and called him the ultimate weapon. So you go back to a guy like Cunningham who did a lot of these same things. So we've had these quarterbacks through the years who came in and were able to do both things. And now you've got, I mean, you know, with Mahomes and Jackson, I mean, I don't want to say taking it to a new level, but these guys are, I mean, they're not only great, but they're also exciting. And I think this makes the game better. And people want to see them. Not only are those guys good, but they're exciting. You don't know what's going to happen. And that's what you look for. But you need special talent to be able to do that.
But we're embracing that style now, Al, whereas before it felt like these coaches and GMs fought that style.
For sure, Dan. And why wouldn't you? I mean, look at the problems you present for the defense. I mean, if you're defending Mahomes or Lamar Jackson or somebody like that, you're looking at it from a defensive coordinator standpoint a lot differently than going up against Tom Brady, for sure. Because Tom Brady's not going to do the things those other guys do. But so it gives you, I don't want to say more of a headache as a defensive coordinator because they've figured out ways to do it. But it's something else to think about. I mean, with Mahomes, and we proved it last year, the play is never over. The play is never over. And but, you know, then again, you've got other pocket quarterbacks like, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, you know, coming off an injury. But, you know, Ben, a few years ago, I once likened him to trying to tackle an apartment building. He may have gone into the pocket and everybody's around him and they're at his feet and, you know, trying to knock him down and somehow he escapes. So, you know, these guys come in different styles, different models, and it makes the game even more fun to me.
You sneak in a gambling reference occasionally, right?
Yeah, sure.
Have you bet on games?
I have not. And I'll tell you why. No, I love to go to Las Vegas. I mean, I love to play craps. That's the greatest game ever invented. But I don't bet on sports. And Dan, you've been around it so long. It's so funny. We know so much. I mean, Chris and I and Fred Godelli and Drew Esikoff and Michelle Tafoya and our core group, you know, we meet with the players and the coaches and we know the owners and the general managers and the personnel people. And, you know, nobody studies more tape than Chris. We don't know who's going to win the game. We'll drive out to the game and go, what do you think? You know, and 50% of the time we're wrong. So the great thing to me about sports, the wonderful thing is everybody thinks they know, but they don't know. You don't know. And that's why I love sports, and that's why I don't bet on sports.
I bet when I was younger, and I thought I knew it all. And I realized I didn't enjoy gambling. I didn't watch the game. I couldn't. It was driving me crazy. Mm-hmm. And then even if I won, I still didn't enjoy it. And then I went cold turkey. I lost the Orange Bowl. I lost $3,300 on an Orange Bowl.
It's a lot of money in those years.
Yes,
wasn't it?
It was. It was a lot of money. And I was up $6,000. And I lost $3,000 and then the VIG. And then I quit. I walked away, bought my mom a dishwasher, and paid off some school loans. But that I have never. And, you know, people always say, hey, do you want to put down a dime on this? And I go, nickel. No, I don't want to do that at all. But people always come up and they'll say the following. Who do you like? And I go, no. I had Pete Rose ask me and Bob Costas at the 1986 playoffs between the Mets and the Astros. Pete comes up to us on the field. He goes, who do you like? And mm-hmm. I said, and I don't know that Pete's gambling. I'm going, well, hey, you know, you got Mike Scott, and the Mets can't handle Mike Scott. And he walks away, and Bob goes, why did you tell him that? I go, I don't know. He goes, he's going to gamble. You're going to bet on that. I'm going, oh, my God.
Nobody knows. I mean, they you know, I mean, to me, there's so many examples of you think you know. Look, there are so many statistics and analyses out there right now. And somebody will say to me, well, you know, what about the fact that, you know, on any given Thursday, this I'm going, stop it. And it's so true because especially in all the years I did the Triple Crown, and I think I did 15 derbies in a row between 1986 and 2000 with a great Jim McKay and others like Hank Goldberg. And people would come up to me at Churchill Downs walking through the grandstand. Who do you like? And I would go, Seabiscuit, or I would go Man of War, and they would look down at the program. Well, where is he? What race is that? Nobody knows, but this is why sports are so great.
When's the last time you went to a game, doing a game, and you were absolutely wrong in what you thought was going to play out? Or the other way, that you were absolutely positively correct that this was going to happen?
No, never. I mean, I'd have to think back, you know, to like last year. You know, there are Sunday night games that just turn out to be the exact opposite of the way you think they will play out. And we've had a few of them last year. I mean, one game, we didn't do the game, but we did the game the following week when Minnesota played the 49ers in the playoffs, and Minnesota shocked New Orleans. You know, you think the Vikings don't have any chance to go into the dome and beat the Saints in that particular game. And then the next week, you kind of you know, as we're doing Minnesota at San Francisco. Now you're thinking about, well, they beat New Orleans, so now do they have a chance to beat San Francisco? And in analyzing that game, we just felt that they'd used all of their energy and whatever it was that enabled them to beat New Orleans. And, of course, San Francisco knocked them off relatively handily. But it's, you know, look, the other thing, too, is I'm watching – you guys were talking about it before. I'm watching that game yesterday, and somebody said to me, well, you know, what do you think of the way that they're doing the NBA and the NHL? And I said, it's pretty good. I'm getting used to it. But that game yesterday, that Clipper-Dallas game, was so compelling in so many ways. And, of course, the dramatic and fantastic ending to that game. I thought, you forgot about all of the rest of it. You forgot it's in the gym. You forgot it's the fake fans. It's the dog, the animated dog, and all that stuff. You forgot about all of that. And it just became a great basketball game. And that was a terrific game. You know, Doc Rivers is a great pal of mine. And, you know, I like to text Doc after the game and normally congratulate him. I didn't know what to say. You know, this is like, it's, you know, not quite a death of a relative, but I mean, that was a bad one. And I just wrote to him last night. I said, look, in my mind now, the Mavericks are out of miracles. That's it. you'll get them on Tuesday night.
And you're the king of miracles.
Well, I know about one anyway.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we pull off another one. We have an NFL season here in a couple of weeks. And it's great to talk to you. Hope everything's good. I know you got a busy day probably. What are you doing today?
I'm taking these guys out for a walk. No, today we've got a couple of Zoom calls. We're getting ready for the season.
Okay.
You know, we're talking about what we're going to do. And, you know, we got two games that first week. We've got Houston at Kansas City. Come back here for Dallas at the Rams. So I'm immersed in it, my man.
Good.
Studying for the final exam.
I love it.
You always... Hey, welcome again. This is great. Have a great long run with you and the Danettes.
Thank
you. Guys doing okay?
Yeah. Everybody's being smart for the most part, I think. Yeah. We're trying to be non-essential, Al.
Stay that way.
Thank you. We're good at that.
Be good.
The great Al Michaels, play-by-play voice, Sunday night football. We're 2 weeks away from football. Crazy. We'll close up shop, what we learn, what's in store tomorrow, last call for phone calls, and we'll try to do all that right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. Padre fans want to know why I haven't mentioned the Slam Diego Padres. I've been a fan for years. I go back to Mike Ivey days, back in the 70s. Yes, Paul.
Checking my notes, I think around 2014, you said next year is the year of the Padres.
Yeah.
You like the team they're putting together.
Yeah.
So you're way early on.
Yeah. I wasn't big on the signing of Manny Machado. I didn't think they needed Manny Machado. But, you know, maybe they're going to get their $300 million worth out of Manny Machado. But they got a lot of young arms there. They're fun. When's the last time we talked about the Padres in a positive way? They had five grand slams in the week. Grand slams in the weeks. In the week.
Tim Kirkton just showed up. Hey, fellas.
May we all be as positive as Tim Kirkton. He could always find something positive to say. Yes, Todd.
That hasn't happened since 1867. Rhubarb Baker.
Three Fingers Brown. Reggie Miller will join us on the program. Let me get to Dan in Nebraska. Dan's been holding for quite some time. Dan, best and worst of the weekend. What do you have for me today?
Yeah, best of the weekend is Dustin Johnson going 30 under at the Northern Trust. Made the course look a little too easy. Worst of the weekend, I know you guys have talked about it quite a while now, is that coronavirus mishap with the NFL. They got to get that figured out. And one thing I wanted to note, I know you love a good shooter in basketball, and there's a rookie on the Toronto Raptors by the name of Matt Thomas. He's out of Iowa State. Doesn't get a lot of run yet, but he has one of the better-looking shots I've seen, so I think you should definitely check him out.
All right. Well, thank you, Dan. And he's right. I always like a good shooter. Austin in Virginia. Austin, how are you?
I'm doing great, Dan. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
I got a best and a fester for you. But first, I got to say how happy I am to have you back on the network. that I work for, except for the fact that I can now only call in on my days off because the chances of my bosses are listening are much greater now. but thank you. I'm excited to have you guys back on Peacock. My best would be Luca, Suck It McLovin, and my bester would be the Alone finale that Seton turned me and my son onto. We've gotten hooked on it, and we watched the finale this weekend. It was amazing. Roland is a beast. Seton, love to get your thoughts on it.
All right. Thank you, Austin.
So I'm still a little behind, but I also just, I'm rewatching other seasons now. It's just a great show.
And what's the show?
Alone. They basically, they take a bunch of contestants and drop them off. Like this last one was in the Arctic.
Okay.
And they're alone. They're all by themselves and they have to film everything. And it's like a survival show. And this last season, you have to, the winner has to survive 100 days in the Arctic by themselves.
Mm.
And it's gnarly.
Mm. Does anybody die?
No.
Oh. I saw this over the weekend. There is an outside advisory committee who will advise the NFL commissioner on COVID-19 issues. Okay. Now, I thought, okay, you probably got doctors, you know, professors, scientists. Charlie Casserly. Tom Coughlin. They could have gotten Dr. J, and I would have been fine with that. At least he has a doctorate in, you know, basketball. Marvin Lewis, Troy Polamalu, Bill Polian, Isaac Bruce, and Champ Bailey. This is the outside advisory committee who would advise the commissioner on COVID-19 issues. What issues could they be advising the commissioner of with COVID-19 issues, McLovin?
I don't know. I just keep thinking about Bill Polian saying guys shouldn't play quarterback.
Yeah.
That's stuck in my mind. But no, they should have doctors, right?
There's no doctors. I mean, they didn't even get that the Chiefs lineman who's taken a year off.
Or even Julius Irving.
Or Dr. Myron Roll. Dr. Jerry Punch. Doc Emmerich. How about Nick Nurse?
There you go.
Oh, Fritzy, here we go.
No, I think Isaac Bruce took a physiology class in high school, so I don't know if that counts.
I don't know if that was worth interrupting. Yeah, we were on the nickname bit. That's right in your wheelhouse.
Doc Medich, remember the picture?
Once again, 80s reference by you. Do you follow sports, like, nowadays?
I kind of stopped around 88, 89.
Final results of the poll question.
Okay, switch it up to if you could watch one QB this year, Brady or Cam. 74% Brady.
Yeah.
More of a sure thing. Although, have you seen all the headlines about Cam at camp?
Yeah, he's looking good. I don't know what that means. Yeah, Cam is he's separating himself from Jared Stidham. You know, if you don't look good in practice, you're in trouble. Let's see. Todd, what did you learn on today's program?
You cannot understand how Luka wasn't double or even triple teamed on that final shot. Reggie Jackson, single coverage?
Yes, I gotta have him give up the ball. McLovin.
Al Michaels is very excited about his plastic owls.
I know. I thought the owl Michaels was pretty good.
That was very good.
And I got a dad humor look from you guys. Seton?
Al Michaels gave us a little bit of a wildlife update today.
Yeah, he did. Paulie?
A year ago today, Andrew Luck retired.
What We Learned brought to you by Home Depot. With everyday low prices, even bigger savings when you purchase by the pallet. The pro's best option when it comes to flooring. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. Thanks for joining us. Do it again tomorrow. Reggie Miller will join us from the bubble. This has been the Dan Patrick Show.